You're listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks, your source for centered and focused play therapy coaching.
Hi, I'm Dr. Brenna Hicks, the Kid Counselor. This is the Play Therapy Podcast, where you get a masterclass in child-centered play therapy and practical support and application for your work with children and their families. In today's episode, I am answering a question from Ethan in Virginia. And this is actually a pretty big question. So I want you all to really kind of maybe hold off on listening to this until you're at a place where you can really digest it, you know, away from distractions internally and externally. And you can just really kind of let this sink in, because he's talking about knowing the why in the playroom and with the child's behaviors. This is something that I talk about a lot. My team at the center is constantly going, hashtag the why matters. So everyone in my life knows how much I focus on the why. But Ethan's actually kind of really questioning how to develop this as a skill. And I don't know that I have like one hard and fast set of answers, but I will certainly share my thoughts and things that I think will maybe pave the way to getting to that point. So let me read parts of his email and then we'll dive into some of the discussion. I was hoping you could talk a little bit about how a clinician can better, as you say, quote, know the why behind a child's behavior. Knowing the why or intention is not an easy thing to figure out, especially for a less experienced clinician. At least for me, it's not something that just comes naturally. It's difficult to know what they need when a child throws something at my face and then laughs, or what they need when they're asking me how much time do we have left, as there could be many reasons, or see the need when they bury something in the sand tray. I ultimately want to be able to understand and see those needs behind the behavior so that I can provide the deeper reflections that I see very skilled CCPT practitioners do. I've heard beautiful examples of therapists do this, especially experienced ones, but I was hoping to know if there was a particular way to know the why or develop one's ability to be more proficient in understanding the why behind a child's play behavior, rather than it just being something that comes from years of experience. So Ethan, thank you so much. I think this is a really helpful thing to dive into. And again, I don't know that this is a comprehensive one-stop shop kind of answer, but I do want to kind of give some broad picture thoughts about this issue. So yes, 100% knowing the why is important. However, there is research that has proven that even when you don't speak the same language as a child in a playroom, play therapy still works. Even when a child doesn't speak to you the entire time in the playroom, play therapy still works. Even when the child sits with their back to you and ignores you for 20 weeks straight, play therapy still works. So I think I want to start with the reminder, or the encouragement maybe, that while the why matters, we don't always need to understand the why, because the child inherently does. The beauty of the child-centered process is we trust the child. Yes, of course, we trust ourselves. We trust the process. However, we trust the child. So if the child is doing something, either consciously or subconsciously, they need to do it, and there's a why there. So even if we don't understand the why, and we use a reflective response, it allows the child to process what they need to. So we may not fully understand why a child is playing a certain way, or what significance that play has for the child. Dr. Landreth mentions that sometimes we never understand what's going on. We don't need to, as long as we use the child-centered play therapy skills and communicate back to the child a reflective response. So let me go through your examples, Ethan, that you gave. So the first, it's difficult to know what they need when a child throws something at my face and then laughs. Okay. So we can track behavior. We can reflect an emotion. Or we can give a narrative commentary about what happened. And even if we don't understand the why, all of those responses are therapeutically valuable, and they will help the child eventually learn to self-control and self-regulate. Why? Because if a child throws something at your head and laughs, that's dysregulated behavior. But we know that one of the four universal outcomes of child-centered play therapy is increased regulation. So just by using a reflective response and not knowing the why and not communicating the why back to the child will naturally develop some self-control. Okay, second scenario, what they need when they're asking me how much time do they have left? Okay, there are several reasons that a child could be asking how much time there is left. But in that scenario, you can reflect content, or you can reflect a feeling, or you can provide narrative commentary. In any of those scenarios, the child knows that you're engaged, you're present, and you're fully focused on what their experiences are in that moment. They will naturally sort that out. Final example, they're burying something in the sand tray. Again, several reasons that children bury things. So you're going to track behavior, or you're going to reflect a feeling, if one is evident, or you're going to provide narrative commentary. And again, whether consciously or subconsciously the child knows why they're burying things, it will naturally allow them to process whatever's going on until they no longer need to bury things. So I think what I'm trying to hit home here is that when we don't know the why, we always have an option to respond therapeutically appropriately. But your question specifically, is there a particular way to know the why or develop one's ability to more proficiently understand the why behind a child's play behavior? Okay, here are my thoughts on that. Default back to what you already know. Big picture. So, all of us either are in graduate school, if you haven't graduated yet, or you are postgraduate. So you all have been in a graduate program and you've all taken basic counseling courses. I guess in other countries, you don't have to have a counseling background. So I know in Australia, that's not always the case. But for all of us in the States and for most people around the world, if you are doing play therapy, you have had counseling or therapy or social work or psychology or some kind of mental health background in graduate school. Okay. So yes, most of us were not trained in working with kids. Most of us were not trained in play therapy. But that said, we were trained in interpreting interactions with clients. So fall back on big picture awareness of human behavior. What do we know when someone does something and then immediately laughs, even though the scenario isn't funny? That's a pretty standard behavior that we see even in adults. People that giggle when they're nervous, for example. We see that behavior. They do something and they're laughing, but they don't actually find anything funny. We can fall back on base knowledge of human behavior. It does not have to be what was going on when that particular child in that moment threw that toy at my face and then laughed. What do we know a person is doing if they do something and then they immediately laugh? They know that what they did was something they shouldn't have done. So they're trying to soften it with the laugh. They're trying to make sure they're not going to get in trouble. They're trying to diffuse the intensity of your reaction. They feel remorse and guilt, but they don't have the courage to say, ooh, sorry. So they giggle because they're hoping that that's going to be enough to pacify the situation. You don't have to understand specificity of that moment to understand what's likely driving that behavior in the child. Similarly, when they ask how much time is left, what do we know when people ask us questions for facts? They're typically people that don't like surprises. They're typically people that want to have control and power over situations. Often they're highly anxious individuals. And they don't want to be caught off guard or deal with something that's unexpected. So rather than waiting for a 5-minute warning and a 2-minute warning, if a child is saying, how much time do we have left? There's usually an anxiety or a power and control route there. That's just human behavior. Go with the flow, people. Don't need to seek information. Power and anxious people want information because they want to be able to be in control of things. So again, big picture human behavior, why? We fall back on that. So as far as how you can more proficiently understand the why, I would start with thinking about motives and what we know about traditional emotions and behaviors in humanity as a whole. And then you start to go from there. Another thing that you can do, and this is one of the things we talk about in my coaching program a lot, because I watch play session videos every single week with them. And so as we're watching the participants' videos, one of the things that we focus on is, okay, what do we know about what is driving this kind of behavior? What do we know when we have an anxious child? What are they likely going to do as an antidote to anxiety? Grasp for power. So one of the things you can do that's very helpful is to not think about specific situations, but think about broad picture analysis. So highly anxious people typically want control. Those are a hand-in-hand thing. So if we see huge power and control needs in a playroom, there's often a connection to anxiety. If we see huge levels of anxiety in a playroom, there's often manifestation of power and control grabs. So you start to connect the dots in big picture ways, and then it allows you to pare that down to be very specific with specific kids in specific situations and specific moments in the playroom. So Ethan, I hope that you find that helpful. I hope that that kind of gives you at least a place to start. And you are correct in that it is something that comes from years of experience. So the more you spend time in the playroom, the more you do child-centered play therapy, the more kids you have sessions with, it will naturally be easier and easier to do if you work at it. I think my disclaimer there is it is not something that gets easier just by doing it. For example, like bowling is known that the more you do it, the better you get, even with no coaching, no training, no skills. You just, the more you bowl, the better you get. There's a natural increase in skill just by doing it. Figuring out the why in the playroom from a child-centered theoretical model, you don't get better at it just because you're in the playroom. You get better at it because you work at figuring out the why. So if you continue to put in the effort and you continue to connect the dots, it will be very helpful for you as you build that skill. But start big picture and then work your way down to more specificity. I think that's probably the easiest path to being able to figure out the why. All right. I hope that's helpful to all of you. Thank you for hanging out. By the way, if a lot of you have been kind of on the fence about joining the collective, especially Ethan, with a question like yours, when we go over play session videos in the collective, when we have Q&A twice a week, these are the moments where you have those aha moments and those insight moments where you start to realize what connects with what. And I really do think that for those of you that maybe have been on the fence or you're really wanting to build up your skills, give the collective a try, ccptcollective.com, and you get a 2-week free trial. I really do think that you all would benefit from that. We have about 110 people in there and gosh, we have fun. So I would love to see you in there. I think that that is really one of the most consistent ways that you figure stuff like this out is when you're around more experienced veteran CCPTs and you hear them talk and you hear them explain and you watch their videos and you go, oh, okay, I never thought about it like that before. That makes sense. It's just those aha moments that start to put everything in place. So I really do encourage you, if you have kind of been thinking about it, you may want to check the collective out. It's a great place to be. We have so much fun, so much discussion going on, lots of comments from podcast episodes. So if you're my podcast listener, you will be right at home in the collective. So just check that out if you're considering it. Love y'all. Grateful for each and every one of you. If you want to reach out to me, I'd love to hear from you, Brenna@thekidcounselor.com. Send me a question, send me a hello, send me a whatever. Mail me something. I don't care. Whatever. Just surprise me. You know I love y'all. We'll talk again soon. Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Play Therapy Podcast with Dr. Brenna Hicks. For more episodes and resources, please go to www.playtherapypodcast.com.